Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Nathan Singh. Nathan, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thanks, Coach Steve.
Mate, I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time chatting with you about your experience with the January Challenge. But look, Nathan, just a few days ago, you found out that you not only made the top 50, but you took out a place in our final Max's top 10. How has the past couple of days been like for you?
It's been great. I didn't expect to get into the top 10, let alone the top 50. 3 weeks prior to the completion of the challenge, I had actually stopped training. I didn't do any weights and stuff like that. I did keep up with the food plan, but quite surprised and quite happy with the results at the end.
Well, yeah, man, you should be so proud of the effort that you put in. Looking at your before and after, I got them up in front of me. Amazing transformation. You look like a brand new you. And, you've written up quite a bit in your profile, which probably touch on during this podcast here. But look, Nathan, I know a little bit about you having read your profile, but there might be some people listening here who aren't sure who you are. So would you like to give us a little bit of an introduction to yourself, maybe who you are, what you do for work, and who is Nathan?
So I'm a father of five. I worked in the health district for full-time for 13 years around mental health as a security staff member. I was able to go down to casual because my wife works full-time and her career is obviously more important than mine. Living in Sydney at the moment, relocated down here from the Central Coast while we're building. So we've been down here a little longer than what we expected, and we're just waiting for the house to be completed. We're living in the house of about 11 people, and four of us are squashed into the smallest room because we've got the two smallest children with us.
Wow. Okay, so can I ask how old your kids are?
So they range from 32 all the way down to 7. He goes 8 this year. The youngest is autistic. Mm-hmm. He's on the autistic spectrum, and he's midway in there. So he's only just become verbal maybe in the last 3 years or so.
Yeah, wow. So do all five kids live with you, or your eldest, 32, have they moved out? Like, what's the environment like?
So the 32-year-old lives with his stepdaughter and his brand new daughter and his partner out at Campbelltown, southwest of Sydney. The two next kids, the son, he's moved out with his girlfriend, and my daughter, the oldest daughter, has moved out with her boyfriend, and the two youngest, I have shared custody with their mother.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're in the nicest way, an interesting environment. You know, you're living in a share house right now in between your build, and you're crammed up in a little room with your two children. Can I ask for like a timeline? Was this during like the challenge, or was it just recently?
This was during the challenge. So we sold up the Central Coast at the beginning of last year and moved down here. And a series of events happened where, you know, during COVID, I had an active job, went from an active job to a less active job because of COVID restrictions of walking through the hospital. And then I had the opportunity to go on long service leave, reduce work, and it kind of snowballed from there. I've always been an overweight person. I think there's maybe twice in my life that I've ever felt comfortable in my skin. This would have to be the third, I would say, now that I feel quite comfortable. And in November, I went to the doctor, and the doctor got me to get on the scales, and he told me to jump off because of the number on there. And he said, get back on again. I jumped back on, and he said, get off. And he jumped on. He says, no, they're not broken. You're just fat. So that was like a bit of a shock. And then he sent me for blood tests, and it come back that, you know, the liver wasn't doing too well. I had an oversized pancreas, and, you know, if I didn't change things, I was just going to get worse. So that was November last year.
Yeah, wow. So Nathan, can I ask, you don't have to answer, but how old are you?
I'm 46, going on 47 in August.
Yep. So, you know, under 50 and being diagnosed with, you know, living conditions and pancreatic conditions, you know, tell us, what was it like, you know, in November when the doctor kind of maybe told you eyeball to eyeball, like, hey, man, you need to change something. Like, what was that experience like? You know, when you're driving home and thinking about what he's just told you, like, you know, what kind of emotions were going through your head and your mind?
It is a shock when you first hear it, but you've got to be realistic and honest with yourself. I knew how fat I'd got. So I knew that I was going down a path of, you know, of being unhealthy and overweight, and especially seeing it in the hospital, you see people that come in with health issues for not being healthy. You know, there's a myriad of reasons why people are unhealthy. Mine was just because I can't control myself. I can't moderate what I eat. You know, if I've heard you in podcasts before, it's like, do you eat one Mars bar or all of them on the shelf? And I'm that all of them on the shelf type of person. So it wasn't so much that I, you know, a shock, like it is a shock, like I said, to hear it, but I knew what I was doing to myself and I knew how I got there. It was a 2-year period that I'd done this to myself, and I knew at that stage it had to stop. You know, I'd been married for about 6 months. You know, I've got young children. I couldn't, as I've written in my story online, I couldn't even get up off the floor. I had to call my wife. I had to say, you know, Tammy, come and help me get off the floor. So she'd have to come and help me.
Wow. And that was probably like my favorite part about your story was I could visualize, you know, that scene. Right. It was very descriptive. Like, I can imagine you being on the floor and not having the ability to get up. And now you can. Like, that's an amazing, and it's a huge, you know, non-scale victory. Like, regardless of what that number is on the scales, regardless of what you achieved in the challenge, you know, like, these are all amazing things, but that's, you know, almost like the secondary thing, right? Being in the top 10, that's secondary to just being able to be physical again. And I can imagine that has like bled over to other areas of your life, such as, you know, playing with your kids, you know, like talking about those other victories that come with, you know, weight loss and improving your health. Like, have you noticed those other important things in our life, such as, you know, being able to play with like your son and stuff on the floor and things? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
It has. It's improved everything. So as I said in there, you'd have to hold your breath to tie your shoelaces. I'm not sure, Coach Steve, how fat you've ever got, but like, I'm only short. I'm only 163 centimeters. So I'm the size of a gnome. And I kind of looked like a gnome in November. So you'd have to hold your breath to do your shoelaces up. You'd have to get someone to help you to get up off the floor. I wouldn't play for the kids. I was puffed. I felt lethargic, felt sick. So the kids would run around, and that was enough exercise for me watching them run around. So yeah, things like that, feeling comfortable in your own skin, I think would have to be one of the biggest things that I've taken out of the challenge, because I can put clothing on and I'm not worried about hiding, you know, man boobs, love handles. I can let the wind blow on my shirt. And I'm sure people can relate with that you try and hide it and you become an expert at hiding it, you know, over 46 years of how to hide fat. And everything that I wear is black to hide it, because black seems to slim in you. So when I do put something of color on now, my wife loves it.
I can relate with that. You know, I started my fitness journey when I was a teenager, right? I was quite overweight when I was in my early teens, and I was very fortunate to be introduced into a fitness lifestyle when I was a teen. But I remember I got really good at hiding my weight, where I mean, you think you're hiding your weight, but you know, if you're overweight, you're overweight, you know, you can't completely hide it. I used to like stretch my t-shirts when I used to put them on. I used to kind of like give them a big stretch. So when they put them on, they're like really baggy. They're not like tight against like my belly or those, you know, insecure spots. And you know, I can completely relate to that. And I think I can relate to your experience as a parent on the other side of, you know, 'cause me right now I'm 29, I'm still young. I've got like fond memories of like my teenage years. And I remember going to places like the swimming pool with, let's say, my uncles and aunties and stuff. And they got really good at coming up with reasons why they didn't hop in the water. They got really good at coming up with reasons why they didn't come play with us on the park and stuff. So as a child, you know, it was just like, oh yeah, the kids would play together, but it was never like adults playing with them. And it was only now that I, as I've become a bit older and, you know, I've got a newborn myself, he's 8 months old. I love playing with him on the floor. I think that's such a valuable memory for me to be able to play with him. But I can imagine that if my life went down a different path where fitness wasn't important to me, I bet I would come up with some really great excuses. Oh yeah, I don't need to play on the floor. He's fine. He can play by himself, you know, or, we'll he can play with the kids and those types of things. Right. So we get really good at making up, or rationalizing things in our head. Right. And we get really good at hiding those insecurities, but, facing them can be, really daunting and really challenging. So, you know, it sounds like you've had to look at yourself in the mirror, give yourself that hard look and make that change. And talking a little bit about change and maybe the challenge and your experience with the challenge, I want to start talking a little bit about some challenges that you faced. And, you know, the first one I want to ask you about is, you know, this environment that you were in. You were in what sounds like maybe a share house or a community environment, and you were sharing a room with your family. What was it like, you know, maybe going to a gym, or were you training at home? What was it like in that environment to meal prep and stuff? Talk to us about that experience.
So I've been quite blessed with things like meal prep and going to the gym. As I touched on before, my wife has allowed me to kind of semi-retire. So meal prepping was quite easy. I just had to find the right balance on what was enjoyable to eat. And all I was putting in my mouth was energy, clean food. So there was no compromises. I feel if you compromise in any part of the challenge, you're doomed to failure. You won't make it. So I had to just keep it like chicken, rice and beans, or, you know, beef and some white potato just to get the carbs in and stuff like that. And that's something that I learned not to be scared of, was carbs. And that's what I've learned from the challenge and listening to the podcast. With going to the gym was, again, blessed. The weeks that I don't have the kids, I was spending up to 4 hours in the gym, and I don't feel that my photos really showed the transformation that I really had, because of the size that I was. I had no muscle tone. I couldn't even fit into a 42 pants. It was, and I started off walking at the gym for say 15 minutes. And then by the end, I was running for 2 hours with weights. You know, listen to the podcast, you guys touch on things like deadlifts, never done them before. You know, I shouldn't say never, but I'd done them and I wasn't comfortable, so I didn't do them. I think by the end with the bar was 120 kilos. And that was not at the beginning. The first month I didn't do it at all. It was mid challenge. I started doing deadlifts, and the only reason I couldn't go heavier is because I had no straps and I just couldn't hold the grip. Things like leg press, incline leg press, 280 kilos before the highest I got was 100. Like the 280 wasn't a clean, perfect, you know, exercise, reps and stuff, but I got it out. And I got four of them out, so I was quite happy with that. Bench press, 120 kilos. Best I'd ever done before was maybe 80.
Wow. That's some huge numbers.
Yeah. So I really pushed it, because I used to look in the mirror, and my wife calls it the anorexic brain. You look in the mirror and you go, look, I'm not making it anywhere. I'm going to give up. And I'm not losing weight. I'm not putting on any muscle. And she's been a great motivation to me. She's quite intelligent. And she goes, look, that's just your brain telling you, you know, that you're not doing well, and it's easy to give up rather than push through it. And she really pushed me through it. And if I didn't have her support me, I guess I would have given up a lot earlier.
Well, it sounds like you've got an amazing woman by your side to be able to achieve this.
Yeah.
And did she do the challenge with you, or was she, you know, like trying to go to the gym with you or anything like that? Like, what was that like?
Unfortunately, she can't. She's studying, was studying full time. She studies part time law. She works as a paralegal in a government department. So she doesn't have a lot of time. So her day is consumed of working all day, mainly from home, and then she goes to uni in the afternoon. So her days are quite full. And when we do have the children over, she loves spending time with them. So yeah, not a lot of time for her to get to the gym.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that those challenges can be quite high. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, that kind of idea of tying up your shoelaces, how maybe at the start of the challenge you were maybe low fitness level, a little bit overweight, unable to be fully mobile, and you chose to start your journey by walking on the treadmill for 15 minutes and you were able to build yourself up to be able to run for 2 hours, okay? Looking at a training plan like we provide on the challenge, it can be a little bit daunting because we kind of create a little bit of a cookie cutter training plan that's, you know, designed for the masses, and there's a little bit of tailoring involved. You know, you can modify it slightly, but you know, your situation is very unique to you, where, you know, your fitness level maybe didn't allow for a standard training program like we provide, where we're saying, hey, Nathan, go do some deadlifts, then go do a leg press, then go do an overhead press, and then some bicep curls. Maybe you're like, geez, Steve, like, you had me a leg press and I might be able to do one set, but then, you know, that's enough. So my question is, what was it like, you know, going to the gym, realizing that maybe your fitness level wasn't what it was previously, and then having to scale a program so that you can build up your fitness level so that you can maybe join like the normal cohort of the challenge? You know, you said maybe in the middle of the challenge, you were able to start doing deadlifts. Like, my question is, like, how did it feel like needing to scale it? How did you scale it? How did you learn how to scale it? And, you know, building yourself up so that you can, you know, do the training plan.
So I've had experience in the gym before. The problem always was the nutrition side. So I could build muscle, but I overate every time. And I used a couple of supplements when I had a couple of shoulder injuries from work. And that obviously, you know, enhanced the muscle quite quickly and I got quite big. But there was always that, you know, 30 to 40% fat. So I knew how to approach the gym and what to do in the gym. So listening to the podcast, what I'd do is I'd start it off trying to educate myself first with what you guys were talking about on podcasts. So I'll listen to the podcast. I think when we started, it was up to about 52. And I listened to them religiously over and over. So if I was driving the kids from Sydney to the Central Coast to go to the school, it's about an hour and a half each way. And then when I was at the gym, I'd listen to them and I'd repeat them and I'd go over, and I found quite a few of them were very relatable to what I wanted to achieve. Tony Abernethy, I quite enjoyed listening to him and I quite related to what he was saying. And I hope whatever stopped him from completing this task, this challenge, he's got past it, because I noticed he didn't complete it. So listening to him, and I just educated myself with you guys. You guys spoke a lot about strength building and to increasing, going to do the weights to failure. I never done that before. I kept the weights low and kept it at, say, 3 sets of 12. So then I started doing it, and I worked out I could get to 15 before, you know, I would start feeling that tension in the muscle. And I thought, why hadn't I done this before? Where was I going wrong? How come no one had told me this before? So that was quite educational. So, and then I slowly started increasing the weights and realized, you know, before, you know, I was doing a cable bicep curl. And I got up to, I think it was 35, and I was getting, you know, up to 10 out. And that wasn't every single time. We have those, you know, those days we wake up and we just feel horrible. But I still made the effort to go to the gym. I still put the effort in, and I realized sometimes I weren't going to get that 35 or 280 incline leg press or the 100 kilo bench press. I knew I wasn't going to get it every single time. And that where to come into the nutrition, because you guys talk about not being afraid of eating carbs. And we're always told, don't eat carbs. Stay away from them. They're going to make you fat. And you don't realize that that's what's giving you your energy. And until I started listening to podcasts and I started realizing that I need to eat this stuff to give me the energy so I can push harder to build, you know, stamina, muscle, and etc. So yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I want to touch on one thing you said where, you know, maybe before you used to do, let's say, 3 sets of 12 at, you know, whatever weight. Let's say you grab the bicep curls and you're doing 10 kilos, 3 sets of 12. All right, this is easy. Cool. I'm doing the fitness thing. Yay.
Yep.
But then, you know, you were able to, you know, increase the load via the reps. So you went up to maybe 15 reps and you started to feel that tension, maybe that sense of failure, maybe that burn, that pump sensation, you know, some of these things that we speak about on the podcast.
Yep.
And then you also mentioned that on some particular days, you knew that you couldn't do that weight. You couldn't do the bicep curl of 35 kilos or the leg press. And that is a really key and advanced concept. So congratulations. And we call it auto-regulation, okay, where we're regulating our performance based on, you know, essentially how we're feeling. So we know that our performance can fluctuate, you know, quite a bit, you know, upwards of 10% plus, depending on our quality of sleep, how much stress we have in the day, how hydrated we are, how stimulated you are in the environment, you know, what foods you've eaten. Like, these things can change our performance. So we can't expect every single time that we are at, you know, peak performance. So there is these kind of concepts where we go, okay, like, we need to be kind of listening to our body, listening to ourselves, and being a little bit humble and being like, okay, in this particular day, in, you know, this particular week, like, I'm not feeling 100%, and that's okay, because it's okay not to be 100%. And you might go and do that bicep curl, and instead of doing the 35 kilos, you have to scale it back to maybe 30 kilos. It's not like you're going all the way back down to 10 kilos. You just scale it back slightly, because, you know, some activity is better than no activity. And what can be a negative feedback loop is if you can't consistently hit 35 kilos, you go, well, fuck this. What's the point of doing it? Because I can't keep doing what I'm doing, so I give up on this fitness thing. And it sounds like you've indirectly figured out this quite advanced concept of auto-regulating, where you go, okay, maybe on this particular day, I can't do what I used to do. Maybe instead of going to 15 reps, I'll do 10 reps. Or instead of doing 100 kilos, I would do, or 120 kilos on the deadlift, I might do 100 kilos, right? So tell me a little bit about that. Like, you know, on those particular days where you didn't feel up to it, what did you do so that you can continue to do some sort of exercise on that day?
So I learned that for you guys, obviously, through the podcast, because when you know, you haven't got that education, you walk in there and you go, and you do give up. You just go, oh yeah, I'm not going to do it no more. I'll just go back to the way I was prior to it. And that's why I love the challenge, because it was keeping me accountable for it. So what I would do is, if I knew that I was off, I would go in there, because I believe you need to be consistent. You need to be consistent with your food. You need to be consistent with your training. You can't have one without the other. So going in there, if I knew that I was off, I would just do my best. I would still try and increase the weight. I would still try and hit that, you know, 15 or 16, or even if I got up to 20, I'd still try. And I didn't, like, I wasn't too hard on myself, because as you've heard in the pod, in your podcast, we're running our own race. It's about us. We're doing it for us. We're not worried about anyone that else is walking in the gym. We don't know how long they've been doing it for, what their motivation is. Are they taking anything, you know, to you know, enhance their build? And I think that's what's scary too, when you go into the gym. You see other people and you try and lift their weight, and you miss the mark by not doing the weight properly. You're not doing the repetition properly. You're not, you know, working that muscle, because you're just trying to say, look at me, I'm lifting 35 kilos in a curl. So when I went in there, and I knew that if I weren't going to do it, I didn't care if anyone was looking at me going, well, Nathan, you're not doing 35 kilos, you're only doing 20 kilos. I had to completely, you know, forget about that and just worry about me, worry about how I was going to do it.
Yeah. No, I can definitely relate with that. Even recently, when I go and train with like some buddies or people that I meet in the gym who want to work in with me, they kind of look at me strange when I choose to use a lighter load than them. I'm not saying that I'm bigger than them or anything like that, or stronger than them. But you know, there's a difference in the load that we use, and I think that's a sign of, again, I'm talking about advanced concepts, but an advanced lifter is someone who, you know, maybe takes that ego out of it slightly, and, you know, looks back at that idea of we're trying to stimulate the muscle. And you could do a bicep curl. I'm sure you and I, we could grab that barbell or cable and put it up to, let's say, 50 kilos. Hey, we could do something that looks like a bicep curl if you squint your eyes and turn your head. But then you could also scale it back to, you know, even 20 kilos. Really try to be very specific and particular with the bicep curl and making it only a bicep activity, not a chest, shoulder, forearm, hip swing momentum thing, whatever we want to call that, where, we bring it back to the basics. And you could absolutely destroy your biceps with, you know, a super light load. And that is it takes skill. And that is more of a sign of it, like an advanced lifter, because the skill involved to be able to do that, it does have its benefits, because like then over time, you don't have to use such a heavy load to stimulate your body. So then, you know, we're really starting to look at that fatigue management side of things. So look, Nathan, wow, man, you're ticking all these boxes of an advanced lifter. That's amazing that you know, from November having a health scare to now at the time of the recording here, we're in May. So what, like 6 months, and you've kind of gone through the challenge university, as you would, where you've kind of gained all these, skills and knowledge, understanding, and either directly or indirectly applying it to your training. And that's definitely come through in your results. So you should be definitely proud of that.
Well, I've got to thank you guys, you and Coach Nick, because it is the podcast. It's the education and listening to it, because we sometimes think we know what's best for us. And, you know, we try and educate ourselves either from social media or internet sites. And I felt, up until I listened to you guys, I knew what I was doing, but obviously I didn't. So I have to thank you guys for everything that I've done.
You're welcome. And remember that, you know, we're here to showing you the map, and, you know, ultimately it is you that does it. So, thank you, but it's also you. So you definitely should take that. Look, Nathan, from here, I want to talk about change. So I would like you to jump in that little time machine and go back to maybe the start of January, just before you did the challenge. How would you describe how your life has changed since the start of the January challenge?
Life has changed more about the way I feel about myself. Obviously, when you feel better, you think clearly, you just feel amazing. And you, obviously, when someone else is upset around you, sometimes when you're overweight and you feel crappy, you can get pulled into, you know, that kind of way of thinking. But my outlook now is, you know, I feel better. I feel happier. I feel comfortable. I think I'm rubbing off on people with the way I feel, because, you know, there's so many people around. And when I found when I was overweight, I was less tolerant, less patient, and, you know, just felt like shit. And now since that, this is, you know, the challenges, and I haven't fallen off the wagon. I've had a couple of bad meals. And I've realized that sometimes the food that we think we love aren't the foods that we really do love. You know, I've tried the KFCs and the McDonald's, and you eat it, it just tastes horrible. And especially the after effects, like you just feel horrible for days after. But I just feel amazing. I feel lighter, happier, thoughts are clearer. I just feel so good. And I think that the healthier eating, I feel sick. If I eat, you know, a Mars bar, I just don't feel right. I feel horrible afterwards. So when I do eat a chocolate, the wife pulls me up and goes, you know what's going to happen about 10 minutes, don't you? And I know it. So we just don't buy it no more. We just don't buy the stuff and put it in the house. It's just not here.
Wow, that's a huge change, making environmental changes like that.
100%.
Well, Nathan, you've kind of mentioned that now that you've made the top 10, the next goal might be to make it towards the top three. But, you know, challenge aside, like where to for Nathan here? Are you going to continue down the path of focusing on weight loss, or are you going to continue down the path of trying to build some muscle? Or you've kind of mentioned some really steep strength gains. Are you going to kind of dabble in some strength sports? Like where is it going for Nathan now?
I need accountability. I need, like we look at elite athletes, they all need coaches, they need nutritionists, And this is what the challenge does for me. I need what they have, but on my level. And my level is the challenge. I'm not no one elite. I don't have the money to be paying for elite coaches and nutrition. You guys, for the average person like me at my age, hit the nail right on the head. So I'm going to keep on doing challenges, and I'll pick and choose between the challenges about building strength and size and to getting lean and ripped. So I need that accountability. I can keep the food going. I could maybe keep the exercise going, but I need somebody to keep me honest. And I think that's what you guys do for me. And maybe other people can relate to that as well. You need that accountability, that support, especially off the social media and the other challenges. And just the knowledge that you guys give out, either via to the drop downs for the nutrition, that was great. I can't recommend that enough. Like, that helped me so much, and it allowed me to find food for me that I was happy to eat every single meal. Yeah, it's just accountability, Coach Steve. It's just you guys. And that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to keep on the challenges going, and hopefully, you know, I can bump up to the top three. And, you know, maybe if I win, I'll just hide in the background, but keep on going with the challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. Well, yeah, the top three is getting more and more competitive every challenge that we go along. But look, you know, if you thoroughly enjoyed that podcast with Tony Abernethy, you know, he is an example of someone who got in the top 10, but then continued his journey and took it to the next level, and you know, made the top three within 12 months. So you know, if that's your goal, keep working hard. It might not happen this next challenge, it might not happen the challenge after, but you know, every challenge is a new set of skills that you learn to get better and better. And I guarantee that this isn't the end for you, Nathan, where you know, it's just the beginning, right? And now that you've kind of had this new lease on life, you know, you've embraced the feelings and the emotions that come with being lighter and fitter and more comfortable in our skin, you know, this is now just the foundation that you've built, and it's time for you to build your house, right? And
yeah, yep.
Decorate it, you know. But look, Nathan, I want to talk a little bit about advice. So if someone came up to you and they were about to start their fitness journey, or about to start the challenge themselves, what advice would you give that person?
You guys have touched on it so many times in your podcast before, and it's so true. You've got to be honest on what goal you want to achieve, honest with yourself on how you're going to achieve that goal. It's because I can't compromise on things that I eat. If I compromise on that, I know I'm not going to get the goals that I set out. You know, have a plan and educate yourself. Make sure you know what you're going into, because you can see it. Some people drop out halfway through because I don't think they know enough about what their journey is to start off with. They go, oh, look, this is just going to be a quick fix, but it's not. It's a long journey, and it's going to take a long time, because we don't just slowly put weight on. It takes months and years to get as big as what we do to finally say, hey, I've had enough. I need to do something about it. So it's going to be in the reverse. You've got to like re-educate yourself, show yourself how to clean eat, how to exercise properly, and don't compromise. Be consistent.
Don't compromise and be consistent. I love that, Nathan. Look, mate, let's wrap up there for this episode of the Challenge Podcast. I'd like to take a moment to thank you for donating your time to be part of this podcast. And, you know, honestly, you should be so proud of the effort that you've put in. And I meant what I said earlier, where, you know, this is just the beginning for you. And, you know, we know that you've still got a bit of work to do, and, you know, you can keep taking your physique to the next level, and you can keep taking your fitness knowledge to the next level, because there's always something new to learn. Me, myself, in my own fitness journey, every day I'm learning something new, or I'm challenging my previous beliefs or my previous understandings and going back to basics all the time. And I've been in the game for, you know, 10, 15 years now, and there's always more to learn. And I think the more that we challenge ourselves, the better we become, the greater understanding we have. And, you know, maybe at the start of our journey, we need to be really strict on ourselves, similar to maybe your approach where, you know, no compromise, I've got to be strict, I've got to, you know, eat clean and not look at the Mars bar. But as we kind of mature into the fitness journey, we, you know, that's when we might be able to introduce some of these foods again, being like, hey, I can enjoy a hamburger on the weekend, or, you know, it is my kid's birthday, I'm going to have a slice of cake. You know what? I'm going to have a slice of cake. I'm not going to feel bad about myself. But that might be a later thing. Right now, it might be, you know, starting with no compromise and doing it strong and getting this amazing result like you did, so that you can improve your health markers and be able to touch your toes and put on your shoes again without support. So, mate, thank you for showing us how it's done. And I'm excited to be able to chat with you once again when you make it into the top three in the near future. What do you reckon?
Yep, 100%. I want to come back. I want to beat Tony and get on the third time. So I know Tony's only done two. So I'm going to go for number three.
The three, Pete. Well, we'll hold that to you.